Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Orman, Old School. We are in effect. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredients and butcher shop, 84th and Havelock, 30s in Yankee Hill. Again, we had a little quick trivia. What was Coach Cal's record at UMass? How many wins? Mm-hmm. Very easy. You could use Google. And then DP wanted to know who is the trivia question of the decade. The coach that gets omitted, the coach that gets glossed over at the great University of Kentucky. Do we have any winners?
Yeah, we did.
Got that one.
We did.
We had Wooden. Let me see. Rick Pitino. Where is it? Who was this dude?
Yeah.
29-39.
Uh-huh. Oh, what'd he say? Yeah.
Billy Gillespie. 2007,
yeah,
2009.
Yeah, man, that is a great trivia question.
2007 to 2009.
For the easiest trivia question led to you by Google, you could easily get four tickets to, what is this, the Supernovas?
Those Stars.
Oh, it's a four Stars tickets.
It's the final home game, regular season home game, so, yeah. You know.
Four easy tickets.
Find your way. We'll give away some Supernova tickets.
Easy, man. It's a lot of stuff going on, obviously, in college sports, and obviously this is going to probably take over the rest of the week until – number one, Coach Cal is in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
I just can't – I mean, the Italian stallion, smooth operator, clean as a whistle. I mean, I don't know how much a suit costs, but just dapper Don. He reminds me of Teflon Don. I can't see him doing the woe pig suey or woo pig suey.
Correct.
That might be the hangup.
For Cal?
No. Yeah. You think you can?
Yes. Think how much that man's getting paid. He's good friends with the boosters. He won't do anything for their money.
He's been in the South.
He's accustomed to it.
He's been in the South, but he's way.
UMass John Calipari, absolutely not. Kentucky John Calipari, that's an easy transition.
I just think he's too cool to be like, woo, pig suey.
He'll do it better than Dana.
When Dana did it, it looked like, I got to get out of here.
Here's the interesting thing. Like, so if you think that PA and New Jersey have become the meccas and the hubs for college basketball coaches. Because Calipari
is like Youngstown football coach.
Yep, Calipari, Jay Wright, Hurley's, that New Jersey pipeline is the thing. That New Jersey, Pennsylvania pipeline.
Everything else is so expensive out there. You better stay in the gym.
Hey, listen. That was the football factor for a long time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you go on a good run of coaches, of great coaches. You got to appreciate what you got. And now we're going to see where they're at. And I think it's also timing. When people come to places to make them great coaches. I think Dan Hurley having the opportunity after Kevin Ollie, you know, he had some NCAA troubles. Look, if they didn't get into those recruiting violations or whatever, Kevin Ollie was actually, it proved that he was wrongfully terminated because he got paid back from University of Connecticut.
Yeah.
And maybe they felt like it was kind of like with this. He won a national title. They did him like Mel Tucker, like, all right, let's, you know, we probably paid you too much. The timing's everything. Dan Hurley went to Seton Hall, had some success, was able to go and take a chance on UConn before they went to the depths of hell, like I like to say. And then it's worked out because he's been able to do his thing with the blessing of Jim Calhoun. And then other coaches like Coach Cal, you got to think for him. UMass, then he goes to New Jersey Nets, kind of flames out. And then he comes back and he has an upstart program in Memphis. And this is what I've been thinking about this during the break. If you can survive in Memphis, coach, you can go to Fayetteville.
Yeah, there's
means he can go anywhere.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah, I think as much as I've been telling myself it's not a good fit or it won't work, I think it's gonna work because he's been into places like that. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it goes and who ends up in Lexington.
And there's some second and third generation Arkansas basketball talent that will return to Calipari in Arkansas.
Well, you got to think Nolan Richardson will that'll be the blessing from him. They've mm-hmm. battled each other. They know each other. And Calipari has a ton of respect for him and vice versa. So that won't be a problem. And the great thing about it, then you think about Corliss Williamson, who's an executive in the NBA, and those guys, Scottie Thurman, Beck, and all those guys. I wonder if we're going to get a little bit of Oliver Miller sighting, all those guys, be it, you know, welcoming back to the Arkansas basketball family. I think if he does that,
yep.
along with some of the other players that have done really well, I think his transition would be pretty good. So,
I agree.
You know, and but, you know, I wanted to get your guys' opinion. Yesterday it was buried, obviously, with John Calipari leaving Kentucky, going to Arkansas. Nebraska, after losing essentially, it seems like 85% of the roster, had like three guys left, got one of the bigger names in the transfer portal from North Dakota State, 6'10"-ish, well-rounded player, kind of a, you know, three-level scorer, bring some physicality there to match up good with Rink Mass. Mm-hmm. What's your thought about Nebraska or Fred Hoiberg's first transfer portal commit in this early transfer portal or, you know, cycle?
I was intrigued that he was the first choice. Because that's one seems too coincidental, too quick for it to be not on purpose. And if that's the statement move, that you need that type of player, 12 and 6 guy, right? And then style of play, who are you losing?
You're losing Casey.
Doesn't fit there.
No. You're losing Alec, but also you also realize what you don't have is a guy that can clean up the boards on aisle three.
Stretch shooting big, right? Can shoot the corner three. Right.
But he'll mix it up though.
Slam dunk finisher. He's not a European big.
No, he's a big. He'll do it all.
I would say that he was goggles, what they thought goggles was. That he was going to be an athletic finisher, 3-rebound defense.
Yeah,
without
but,
the
I
chaos.
Mean,
without the chaos.
Well, goggles, though, we see this guy is proven. Goggles is what we thought. I think with this guy here, I think he gives you a little bit of more versatility. I think that Texas A&M game might have been a wake-up call, where you can kind of provide a little high-low action. I think that's where Nebraska was at their best offensively, and everything can work off of that. I think it takes the pressure off of Rink Mass of carrying the load. He was a point center at the end of the season. Good decision maker out of it when they run their wheel action, but then also you get a guy that can score inside, and then Rink Mass has an advantage of maybe a forward instead of a center. He can go outside and start hitting.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Threes.
I view Andrew Morgan as a great middle ground between Josiah Alec and Rink Mass.
Yes.
I think he's pretty well in between those two guys. Doesn't pass as well as Rink, shoots a little better than Josiah from all over the floor. North Dakota State used him in some high pick and roll, like we saw a little bit with Rink Mass, but he also rolled quite a bit as well. He's got more juice than I anticipated. Nebraska hasn't had a guy that can grab a rebound between two others and then go up and dunk the thing.
Yeah.
Andrew Morgan did that multiple times. So I think he's got the Alec burst, if not the positional versatility on the perimeter defensively, and maybe not as good a shooter as Rink, but good enough that you can afford to give Rink some minutes and feel okay with him there.
You know, I think what I being 6'10", 245, I like that, though. And having the explosiveness of what you've been maybe missing at times. And, you know, he's got some length as well, you know, as far as arms and his ability to affect shots. I think it gives you more flexibility. Now it's going to be interesting to see what they do to replace Jamarcus Lawrence, CJ, and obviously Casey, obviously, is going to be by committee. But you're going to have guys step up, and you're going to have to continue to hit the portal because You know, you got some freshmen coming in, but you can't expect them to come in right into the Big Ten and be apples to apples with K-State and his production. And then CJ, you know, from his leadership, and Jamarcus Lawrence was a lot of potential. So, you know, that's the first one. It was a big one to get because it was kind of a little bit of a slow moving. You know, but they still got to be active, and I'm sure they are. It's just a little bit tough sledding right now. I think when big decisions are made outside of your region, it does slow down the process a little bit because college basketball has to settle down. Because it's not just Calipari going to Arkansas. It's who ends up at Kentucky. Where did they come from, and then who goes there? It's like a domino. So until the dominoes start to slow down, and, you know, Nebraska, you know, might be in a little bit of a pause, but I still think they're going to hit the recruiting path pretty hard.
I do too, and that's where I'm curious to see if this is the big swing for Nebraska or if this is just the first guy that committed. Because Strick and I have talked about this, and I'd love your guys' opinion on this too. Nebraska needs a true difference maker, right? Maybe they have it on the roster in Bryce Williams, the guy that can take over a game. I don't necessarily see that out of Andrew Morgan. I wouldn't be surprised if Nebraska has some oars in the water without, say, bigger name maybe, or maybe a guard of some sort in the portal that's just not ready to commit. So I think Andrew Morgan saw the fit was ready to go, but I would be shocked if he's the headlining addition.
Yeah, like I said, he was the first one, which made me go, okay, even if you thought he was the ideal, the table setter, the standard from which you're working, culturally, schematically, whatever,
yeah,
that he's the first one.
Well,
that tells me the deal was already done and this had been purposeful.
Yeah. And but I also like that, you know, he has 2 years left. Now, everything goes right, it's only going to be a year. But if it does go right, then that's cool. You know, you also got to think, guys, you know, Fred Hoiberg is made a habit. Now, this might just be coincidence of guys they've played against. Williams played against Morgan. Terrence Reed is in the portal from Michigan. No, Austin, I'm just talking about they've seen him before. I mean, listen.
You could have said Amori.
I didn't get there.
Why didn't you lead with him?
Why? It doesn't matter. I'm still just getting there. I'm working right, through
I'll
the process.
I'll pump my brakes, Jay. I'm sorry.
But all I'm saying is, do you think their next get could be somebody they've seen before? That gives you the best. Well, number one, they scouted him before and after the game, right? You scout, pre-scout him. See if it came to fruition. Does it somebody that, like, you've done your homework on them, you feel like you know a little bit more about them, versus somebody you're saying, okay, well, he's a great player at whatever school he was at. Will he be somebody that's good here? You don't know that. Does this close the door on a William Kyle? Does this open the door potentially for Frankie Fiddler? Are those some of the guys' local products? And how that can influence other players, you know, throughout the Big Ten as well. I think there's a lot of dominoes that Nebraska has in the water. Just be interesting to see in the next 7 to 10 days how those start to come to fruition, because then you'll start to see this roster take shape.
Yeah, I found it. I always think transfer portal has to be about statement of who you are going to be. Listen, if you're shopping down, probably not the way to go. That means, to me, anybody that's brought in to this point, especially in this rotation of the transfer portal, has to be a dude.
Yeah,
like should be a dude,
right?
Not has to be, because you get what you get,
right?
But if this is the standard, while it wasn't a splash, it certainly wasn't just a pebble. Like you just threw a rock and skipped a rock across the water. It wasn't a boulder that changes the
role. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Morgan was highly ranked because we had the rankings, and he's well thought of. I think also Sam Griesel, you know, coming from North Dakota State, obviously, I think it probably made a little bit of an easier process as well. You know, I think when you go into the portal, you know, you got to make sure, you know, Fred and those guys have done a good job of identifying what they're kind of player they are want versus, all right, let's go get an AAU team. We've seen that before. So you got to make sure that you potentially are going to fit. Now you got to get some pieces in there that are going to bring some instant impact, but then also stability to obviously your guard position. Do you change something to where you go to a true point guard? Or do you continue along the process of developing maybe, well, according to him, Bryce Williams as that kind of point forward, 6'7" point guard. Is that what you go back to? So it's also a philosophy. I wouldn't say change, but adjustment, or to something that you continue to work towards. Because Bryce Williams, before the game against Texas A&M, said that's what they've kind of been working towards, and he said, "I'm a point guard." Texas A&M had a little bit different idea about that, but it's also, you know, just a snapshot of what potentially could be. So I think it's all good. I think college basketball will start to get exciting as far as where these players go and what they do. It'd be just interesting how this rest shakes out for a team on the upswing, or at least this year, at least Nebraska, how it affects them in a positive way coming off an NC tournament, you know, bid. So hopefully it works out well. I think it'll work out well. I like what they did last year, and hopefully they can replace some pieces that have been around for a while. And, you know, look, sometimes, you know, this is a part of the business. It's a business, and so as business goes, business got to keep going on. So with that being said, Jay Foreman, DP, we're going to come back, talk a little spring football, maybe some quotes today. They're in the third week. This is the most crucial week here. Is this the third week out of five? How many weeks are they going to spring ball?
Spring game's the 27th, so that's the end. Then you get 15 practices.
So then they got another week, too.
Yeah.
But this is the week. You're right in the middle. You the excitement of hitting it is over. Nice to get tired of seeing the same faces, hitting, ramming the same people. Can you concentrate longer and harder than your opponent? So, anyways, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.